Good afternoon. This is Carolyn Davis from Wayne State University. We are conducting a CBTU Oral History Project here, and this is the 31st Annual Convention of CBTU.
32nd.
32nd.
I was 32nd.
And our interviewee right this at this moment is Mr. James Orange.
Reverend James
Orange. Reverend James Orange. Thank you. Mr. Reverend James Orange, would you please give us a statement of your name, any middle initial, the whole name?
Well, James E. Orange, Sosa Bena St. Peter Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, the employee of the American Federation of Labor Congress of Industrial Organization, AFL-CIO, born in Birmingham, Alabama in 1942. And I got involved in the labor movement, I guess, in 1977.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me just the name of your high school?
Parker High School, Lewis Elementary in Birmingham, Parker High in Birmingham, Bishop Colleges in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And went through a number of other edulatory projects and programs. I have 4 honorary doctorates. Mm-hmm. One from South Africa, and part of making sure that African Americans and people of color have the right educational information about where we are from, where we've been, and where we are, and where we have to go.
You are married.
Mm-hmm.
And how many children?
5. I got 5 kids, 4 girls and a boy. Mm-hmm. Got 2 grandchildren, 4 years old and 2 years old.
Reverend, would you please give us a timetable of your union work, starting with your first encounter with the labor union?
Okay, my first encounter with labor was like in 63, mm-hmm. but with Dr. King, but I basically started to work in officially for the FFL-CIO in 1977. But we had basically worked in Charleston Hospital Strike of 69, mm-hmm. Memphis Sanitation Work of 68, mm-hmm. The Scripto Strike of 63, but primarily going to work for organized labor was in 1977 when I went to work on the J.P. Stevens campaign, organizing campaign. They wanted those of us from our movement experiences to be able to go out and assist those workers in their endeavor. During my stay with J.P. Stevens, one of my first campaigns was in Millersville, Georgia, mm-hmm. where I had worked in the civil rights movement. But while in Millersville, the mobilizing and organizing of workers there, we turned the community in support of organizing of the plant in Millersville, Dublin, Tifton, and Louisville, Georgia. The company at that time bugged the hotel rooms. And from that bugging, a landmark decision was handed down from the work that we was doing in Millersville. And the government found that J.P. Stevens and other companies in Millersville had violated our rights in bugging our rooms. And found them guilty, and a large amount of money was awarded, which the attorneys for the union went back to J.P. Stevens and their attorneys to say that if we dropped the lawsuit, can we get contracts and will you sign a contract and plant that we had won elections, and there had been elections won in the Carolinas. They won in Alabama, and they basically, from that agreement, signed the first contracts from the J.P. Stevens organizing drive, which started in 1963, and I think they got the first contract in either 1979 or 80.
Mm-hmm. From 63 to 79 or 80?
They won elections, but they didn't have contracts, and because of what they had done in Millersville, we are agreed that if they sit down and negotiate and give a fair contract, the suits would be dropped, and that eventually happened.
What did you think of your union's leadership at that time?
Well, coming out of the civil rights movement, I only knew the likes of Bill Lucy because of our involvement in Memphis and Cleveland Robinson, who was a board member of SCLC, and very, very few African Americans, because we saw the labor movement not really being for African Americans, because everybody we knew that was in control and in power were basically white males. Walter Ruther, Jerry Worth, the ones that we came in contact with the meanest in the civil rights movement. But going to work with Murray Finley and Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers Union, getting involved with the industrial union.
Jewish, right?
Yes, getting involved with the industrial union department, for which Dr. King had helped to orchestrate for the organizing of that department in the FLCIO. And that's basically where I was assigned from 77 up until the department folded in 1996, until they basically stopped doing the organizing, because I think they continued on for a year or so following that.
Who most influenced your union experience during that time?
Who most influenced? I would say Cleve Robinson and possibly Bill Lucy, because those were the two who had come close to us in the civil rights movement and had worked in other organizing endeavors with SCLC, in the Philadelphia Hospital organizing with 1199, working around people like Henry Nicholas, and getting that strategy together after the Charleston Hospital strike of 1969. We cross paths, and they basically intersected in the civil rights community because they served on the boards of the SCLC where I was an employee.
When did you get involved with CBTU and why?
Well, I got involved first in CBTU, I guess maybe about 15 years ago. The CBTU had come to be the name that a lot of us learned because of Bill. That was the place for African Americans in labor. And I was with the Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers Union, and basically assigned to the Industrial Union Department, and was doing a lot of the outreach as far as coalition and coalition work. And in Atlanta, there was a chapter that had set up, and I took a membership out, but didn't really get involved, maybe until about 4 or 5 years later, where we reorganized the chapter for the convention coming into Atlanta, and pretty much have kept that chapter afoot since the reorganization. It has been ups and downs, but basically some of the same people who was around in the early 90s, in the middle 90s, because of what we was doing with the anti-apartheid movement, the chapter basically helped us. And I guess the anti-apartheid struggles of South Africa brought more enlightenment to me, because I met some African Union members, and in talking with them, they wanted to know if there was any black organizations in the FLCIO in labor. And this was really right after Mandela had gotten released from jail, and just out of the clear blue sky, I said, well, you know, you need to talk to Bill Lucy with the CBTU, who was also, I think, then the Secretary of Treasury of AFSCME. And he had been working already with Linda Way Mabusa, who was the person who was assigned as the ANC representative to the U.S. in Washington. They had already done a relationship, but we basically got with the labor folk who came here to the U.S. from South Africa through the FLCIO, and basically gave some of that information. I think when they had the elections of 1995, Brother Lucy led some African Americans and whites from labor to South Africa. I think the group that I took over was the only partisan group that went to assist in the elections, and we worked directly with the ANC. But that was basically how I think I got real close, because I saw a lot of stuff that they was doing. And then a lot of issues that come up in labor for workers' rights and the National Labor Relations Act. Bill basically coordinated and talked a lot of that stuff to the King Center, the King family, and SCLC, and you know, made it possible for us to work together on SR5 and S55, which was the National Labor Relations Act.
How effective do you think CBTU has been over the years?
I think CBTU has been the voice that whites in labor recognize and realize. I don't think we know the strength that we have to a certain degree. I think we could be much more positive, you know, when it comes to African American. I think every African American in the trade union movement ought to be a member of CBTU because of our strength. I think when CBT, you say things through some of our leadership and through some of our members, I think they're basically heard. And people all wouldn't want to see a CBTU come out and say some negative in reference to racism. And I think a lot of the racism that's in the labor movement, CBTU helps to sort of minimize some of it, but it's still a lot of racism, you know, like in the trade union movement.
What do you think of CBTU's leadership?
I think it's excellent. I mean, Bill has always been on the right side of all issues, I feel, and this is just me personally. I think that we need to be bringing up some bills that are in our young folk and our labor movement. I'm so proud to see this youth organization from CBTU growing and developing because we need many Bill Luces, you know, like in the trade union movement, who could say things and not afraid to say them in reference to right and in reference to wrong, because we've seen a lot of faces that's being changed in the labor movement. A lot of Asians and Latinos are coming into the labor movement, and a lot of African Americans going to be moved to the side. I think the CBTU's strength could make sure that African Americans are really there and be our voice when it comes to folk, by not pushing us to the side when they have used us. One of my main reasons for being a part of CBTU is to make sure that those voices are heard and felt.
Okay. How do you see the future of CBTU?
I think the future of CBTU is going to be the voice for African Americans that are not in the trade union movement when it comes to politics, when it comes to economics, when it comes to economic development, when it comes to education. I think the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, because the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists don't have a problem with working with our churches, don't have a problem with working with our civil rights organization and our women organization. I think they could be that voice to educate the religious leaders, the civil rights organizations, of a lot of the issues that they may not get information on unless they get it from CBTU, you know, as far as the trade union movement is concerned, because a lot of the issues in the trade union movement is also issues that the African American church should be a part of, or the civil rights organization should be a part of, or African American females should be a part of. I was so happy to see us discussing today at this convention the jail problem and how jails are being privatized and set up and is becoming a big business, and who's there, African-American males. But then we're finding that a lot of African-American females are also being incarcerated. And I think our voice can be heard through the CBTUs, the leadership that we have in the CBTUs on Capitol Hill and in a lot of local areas when it comes down to our political work, our voter education, and our voter empowerment, our stuff that's going on today. I think we need to have that voice. That voice need to be heard with the NAACP. That voice need to be heard with the National Baptist Convention, the AMEZs. That voice need to be heard with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC Women, and whatever organizations we have out there. I think if we coalesce in the trade union movement, for the trade union movement to coalesce through CBTU with a lot of our organization, I think it'd be helpful.
Mm-hmm. You've given us a beautiful rendition for the record. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
I just think that we ought to do more positive putting out about what we're doing in the trade union movement so that white folk can know and not just see us and see us as a problem. When we say that we come in the CBTU, Coalition of Black Trade Unions Convention, a lot of our white brothers and sisters in the labor movement want to know why y'all got to have a black thing. Well, I mean, you got your white thing, you know. So what is the, you know, what is the problem? What is your issue? No one has a area of concern until African Americans talking about getting together. I've been in organizing for almost 25 years, and in my organizing endeavors, a lot of campaigns I've gone on that whites would get together and do their clicking, and if I get together with a brother, start clicking, they won't say, what y'all getting together having a black power strategy? We didn't say anything about your white power strategy, you know, when you was together. And I think the CBTUs can help alleviate some of those racial problems and racial tensions that we have, you know, by being that voice to get out there to let brothers and sisters know that they have a right to talk, they have a right to speak up, they have a right to stand, and they have a right, you know, like to move forward. And I think Bill has done a good job because of the leadership that he leads, which he picked up from the A. Philip Randolphs, from the Cleve Robinsons, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, you know, like to move on and lead us in that direction. And he's hailed in the civil rights community as a civil rights leader, where he may be in the trade union movement, but a lot of the civil rights organizations have him on the boards as a part of what they're doing and a part of what their movement. And I think by his presence alone, you know, helps to alleviate some of the problems that may have been there, may be there, that we can get rid of.
Okay. I want to thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right.